Say amen. I'm glad we go to a church where old-time religion has not died out. It's died out in a lot of places. The fire has gone out. And they're trying to manufacture up something in the flesh. But I'm glad we go to a church where old-time religion has not died out. We ought to be thankful for that. It's not like this everywhere. Praise the Lord for that good singing, good spirit, good choir, good fellowship. And now the Word of God. Open your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 1. Yep, don't listen a little bit, Brother Mike. Acts chapter number 1 this morning. Please keep your seat. Please, everybody keep your seat. Be real still. And I've got a message this morning that I believe will help you if you'll listen. Acts chapter 1, we're looking at what we call the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension is when He left this world and went up to heaven. While the disciples were standing there gazing, the Lord went up into heaven like that. And we were told to look for Him until He returns. Look for Him to come. We're to be looking for the Lord. He said He'll come in like manner as He went. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up. The devil will take you down. The Lord will take you up. You go with Him. and a cloud received him out of their sight. Look at this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. That would be angels. Which also said, angels are always mentioned in the Bible as men. There are no female angels. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. My job is to preach it. There are no female angels with blonde hair and wings. There's no such thing as that. That's a Catholic world doctrine that somebody made up. They're young men, and you wouldn't know them from anybody in here if there was one standing right here, except maybe the Lord would let them glow or something like he did sometimes in the Bible. They were standing in two apparel, in white apparel, verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, here's what I want to talk about this morning. Here these guys are standing there, and the Lord went up. The Lord went up, and they're standing there like this. The whole world around them still going about their daily business, and they're standing there looking up at the Lord. And the angel said, he's going to come back just like that. You don't see many people looking up these days. Now, I'm going to preach this morning on the subject. I heard a man say this on radio or a news commentator or something, and it stuck in my head. And he was talking about our generation of young people and the generation of adults. And he said, this is the generation that don't look up. And when he said that, you know how, if you're a preacher, you know you get thoughts from stuff like that. You might even do it and you're not a preacher. But man, that stuck in my heart. He said, we're living in the generation that don't look up. And what he's talking about is everybody you see is doing this. Everywhere. You can't even get people's attention. And man, that thought got in my head. And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And I thought, spiritually speaking, we're living in a generation that don't look up. That don't look up. I travel, of course. I go in the airport. You might have 2,000 people sitting down this one hallway. And I guarantee you 90% of them are fooling with some kind of electronic material. I mean, it's like this. They got them about this big. They got them this big. They got them this little. And they're doing like this. And they're doing like that. And I have a cell phone. It's in my office somewhere. I don't have it on during church. And I have one. And I use it. But I'm telling you, you can't. You have to walk up and hit somebody. You get on the plane. And as you're going on the plane, you got people sitting here. And you have to open that little thing. Put your bag up there. You have to hit somebody to get their attention, to get them to even look, to let you in, to get your seat. Everybody is looking down. Everybody is looking down. You go into anywhere. You go into at camp. We was on our way to camp. Those kids, I said, all right, kids, let's everybody sing a song. Every one of them is down like this. Got things stuck in their ears. Just constantly. Those things have absolutely consumed our attention. They say the average teenager spends 3 hours a day online. 3 hours a day. And I guarantee you there's people in here that do it more than that. If you spent that much time reading the Bible, you would read the whole Bible through in a little over 2 weeks. Think about that. The whole Bible. If somebody came in here and said they read the Bible through in 2 weeks, you'd think, oh, they're one of them crazy people. They're one of them fanatical nuts. Or stay away from them. If you spend 3 hours a day online, you read the Bible through in 2 weeks. You're talking about a generation that does not look up. Listen, if you spent 3 hours every day on your bus route, 50 would be a low day on your bus. If we spent 3 hours a day praying, we would be a spiritual giant. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the generation that does not look up. Now, you know what? When you don't look up, you miss a lot. And the city makes it worse. If you haven't been to a big city, When I went to Florida a few weeks ago, I didn't see a city at night. But when I went to Gatlinburg, when I went to other cities, I've seen when you go out there at nighttime, when you walk out into the city at nighttime, all you see is advertisements and lights flashing and neon signs, and it's hamburgers and it's wine and spirits, or it's some kind of a bar, or it's another kind of a restaurant or a hotel or something like that, and you just constantly see. You know what? When you're in a big city, you never even think to look up at them stars. Nobody is looking at the moon and the stars. Everybody's looking at what's around them. When you go out in the country, you go out there in the country now on a clear night and there's nothing going on and the ground's black and dark, you can't help it. You'll look up there and say, man, isn't the stars bright? Isn't the moon pretty tonight? You naturally look up. Now, that's true in every way. You live in a city, you have less people looking up than you do out in the country. You ever wonder why country people normally are more Christian than people that live in a big city? There's so much distractions. There's so much stuff around you to keep you from looking up. You see all this stuff around you, you don't look up. Listen, you go out in a big 30-acre field at 12 o'clock at night, and there ain't no street lights, and ain't no farm buildings, nothing like that, and ain't no light. You know what you're going to do? You're going to look up and see them lights up there. We are living in a generation that don't look up. We're constantly occupied with things down here. Now you can get me down a hair, brother. Watch me for a minute here, please. Now listen to me this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what the Lord gave me. You know what we need to do? You know what we don't do and what we need to do? We don't look up for our food. We don't look up for our food. It's God that lets the crops grow. It is God, it's not the government, that lets corn come out of the ground. I watch my neighbors grow gardens all summer. And I'm running every day, and I watch them when they're that high, and then the corn's that high, and then the corn's that high. And right now, it's way up here about like this. It's ready. That stuff's ready. And I watch some of my neighbors, their garden didn't do too good. One of the neighbors planted corn three times because crows kept coming in there and getting it every time he'd plant it. He finally got something to come up. I got one. Lord, their garden looks like some churches I've been to. It's sort of sick looking. It's yellow and white and it's pitiful looking. And then some's real big and strong like some churches. And you know what? It's God that lets that corn come out of the ground. God lets corn come out of the ground. There is not a man in the world that can make that happen. So when that corn comes out and somebody picks it and then somebody takes it to the grocery store and then you put it on your plate and put butter and salt on it, you know what you need to do? You need to look up. You need to look up. You say, well, where's that food truck? You know who put that food in that truck? God did. God gave you every bite that you eat this week. God gave you every bite of bread. God, you know who let that ham grow? God did. You know who let that chicken live? God did. You know who let that fish swim and get caught and get it so you could eat it? God did. Ladies, turn me down just a hair, Brother Mike. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, like that one guy said one time, he was staying with some people and they got ready to pray. And when they got ready to pray, they got around like this, and he said, or they got ready to eat, he looked around and said, don't y'all pray before you eat? And they said, no. He said, oh, you're just like my dog, you start right in. Just like my dog, you start right in. You know, you throw something to a dog, they don't get up and say thank you, they just eat it. And that's the way we take God's blessings for granted. Let me tell you what we ought to do, we better look up and say, thank you, Lord, for the food that we're about to eat. I ask the Lord to bless a Pepsi. I ask the Lord. You say, you mean when you drink something, you ask, sure I do. You better be thankful God gives you your food. Ask the Lord to bless a bottle of water, brother. Ask Him to bless. Don't you be ashamed at work or at school to bow your head and to say, thank you, Lord. And look up, because that's where it all comes from. You know what? One third of this world, it's like me and you, each with a spoon and a fork. Another third of this world eats with chopsticks. And another third of the world eat with their fingers. We have 6% of the population of the world and eat nearly 80 or 90% of the food in America. And God gave you
When you go to the store, you have whole racks full of Rolaids and Tums and Maalox and everything. You know why? Because we eat so much as Americans, and we don't even look up to see where it come from. That dinner you're getting ready to eat here in a little while, that supper you'll eat tonight, that snack before you go to bed, God gives you every bite of it. Thank God. Listen, you ought to thank God and look up and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me to eat. You know, over in India, people starve to death, and they have rats. Rats outnumber people like 5 to 1 in India. 700 million people. 700 million people, and rats outnumber the people 5 to 1. And you know why there's more rats than there are people? Because the Hindu theology teaches that rats are sacred. They worship rats. They think rats are, and they think that rats, they believe that, they believe that cows might be their grandma. Your grandma dies and she comes back as a cow. Now I'm telling you, man, if I lived in India, I'd just do like Charles Darwin. We'll say the survival of the fittest, amen? We'll just kill grandma and put steak on the table. That's tough, it's her tough luck. But anyway, that's what they do in India. They worship cows, they worship rats, and people starve to death. I'm glad that we know here that our food comes from God. The Bible said every creature of God is good and is to be received with thanksgiving to them that believe and know the truth. Thank the Lord that we ought to look up at our food. We eat so much. Listen, brother, we eat so much we make ourselves sick in this country. And don't thank God for it. There's people in the world that would shout if they had the meal you're getting ready to eat here in a little while. They wouldn't say, oh, I'm bored. This ain't no good. I have to go back to church tonight. Blah, blah, blah. They'd say, glory to God, we got a feast today if they was getting ready to eat what you're getting ready to eat here in a little while. They'd shout if they did. You hear about that guy? He was going to eat 100 oysters. I like fried oysters. That's the only way I can eat them. But he was going to eat 100 oysters. And I mean, he got way up there. 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 97, 96, 95, 94. That's what happened to him. And I mean, boy, it started coming back. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, we're eating ourselves to death. Some of y'all are a little slow, but I don't have time to wait on you blondes. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, God's been good to us. He's given us food. We ought to look up. We quit looking up. Look up, brother. It's God that gives you food. The Lord, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God. You think I'm just running my mouth, but I'm telling you, the Lord put that food on your table that you're going to eat today. The Lord give you that popcorn and peanut butter sandwich and, brother, peanut butter and crackers, brother, and ice cream. And he give us all that stuff to enjoy. We ought to look up and thank God for our food. Like one church said, they had a potluck supper. Prayer and medication will follow. Amen. Number two, let me say this morning. We ought to look up, thank God for our fortune. For our fortune. Did you know that it is the Lord that lets you have a job and lets you have a mind and lets you make money? Did you know the Bible said, I got you a verse of scripture here, if you don't believe it, the Bible said to all you people, Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18 says God gives you power to get wealth. You do not get wealth by your ingenuity. I know plenty of people, smart people, broke. You do not get wealth because of your genius. The Bible says God gives you power to get wealth. That means if God blesses you with a payday, the Lord is who you got it from. And you need to look up and say, thank you, Lord. Because you know, that's where them people in Hollywood mess up. They say, well, I'm smart and I'm a genius and I'm beautiful and I've got all this by my great accomplishment. No, you've not. It's the Lord that lets your mind work. It's the Lord that lets you know how to make a business deal. It's the Lord that lets you know how to get up and go in and punch a time clock every morning. It's the Lord that gives you strength to work your job. It's the Lord. Brother, we don't even look up and thank Him for our job. Now, you know, I got a job. I enjoy my job. It's not easy. You think pastoring a church is easy? You ought to try it sometime. I mean, it's a constant battle and fight and heading. We got messes in here this morning I could spend all week on trying to straighten out. You never get it all done. You never get it all caught up. Always some mess going on. Always people in trouble. People here needing help with money. People here needing marriage counseling. It's not. But I tell you, I thank God that I've got a job. I don't do this for money. I do this for the Lord. But I'm glad God helps me and God blesses me and the church is good to me. I'm thankful. I look up and say, thank you, Lord, I've got a job. Don't think it's you. It's not you. Look up. Look up. We're in a generation that don't look up. Look up and say, thank you, Lord, for my job. Most of the trouble in the Christian life, are you listening? Most of the trouble, are you listening, in the Christian life comes from trying to halfway live it. Most of your trouble in your life comes from halfway trying to live for God. Trace it. Check me out on that. You say, Lord, I just don't know what to do. One man said this. He's out there like this one day, and he's stealing a watermelon out of a watermelon patch. And he looked around, and he said, now, I'm going to show you how to do this. He picked up this watermelon like this. He said, all you got to do is look this way, look that way, look that way, and look that way, and we'll go. And his little boy punched him and said, hey, Dad, you didn't look up that way. If he looked up there, there's somebody looking at you. If he looked up this way. Buddy, I tell you what, when I get my check and I go to the bank, I'm old-fashioned, I cash the check, I put the money in my hand, pay the bill, I'm still so old-fashioned, I'd like to see it and touch it before it goes to the bill collector. You might not believe that. You can do whatever you want to. But a card just don't look like money to me. And let me tell you something, brother. I say thank you, Lord. You give me this. You bless me with it. You bless us with it. There are people in the world that don't have a job. There are people in the world that don't own a red cent. There are people in the world who own nothing. There are people right here in North Carolina who do not have one thing. And God's blessed you. And God's blessed me. And God's been good to us. He's given you strength. He's given you wisdom. He's the one that makes my brain work so I can study. He's the one that gives me this mouth so I can preach His word. He's given it all to me. I'm looking up this morning and appreciating the fortune. You ought to look up and thank God for your food. You ought to look up and thank God for your fortune. Number three, you ought to look up and thank God for your family. For your family. Listen, I'm telling you something, brother. Old Job prayed for his family. Now, the first thing I do every morning of my life, 7 days a week, is I pray for my family. I read my Bible. And so this morning I did it at 3 o'clock. I don't usually do that. But a lot of times I do. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, read 4 chapters in my Bible, and I begin to pray. And, of course, I pray for my girls, their husbands, and their kids. First, they're tops on my prayer list. Every day. And I thank God for them. And I say, Lord, protect them. Lord, if there's something wrong, fix it. If there's something that helps, bless their health. Keep them healthy. I pray for my sister and her husband. And then my nephews and Wade and Wes and Sean and their families. And then name them. And then I pray for our bus routes. And I pray for the church. And I pray for some of y'all in here that's having special needs and problems every day of my life. I look up and I say, Lord, take care of my family. You know why? Because it's the Lord that takes care of my family. It's the Lord. Job, the Bible said Job got down every day and said, Lord, watch over my kids. I believe that the greatest thing you can do for your kids, mamas and daddies, is not give them every little thing they want, but pray a wall of prayer around your family. You better learn how to pray. They say down in Florida, they got in this group. And these people were Satanists. And these Satanists were getting people, kids, and sacrificing them to the devil, killing them, and drinking their blood, and all kind of crazy stuff. And one of these Satanists got saved and come out of that group. And when they come out of that group, you know what they said? They gave a testimony in a church, and they said, you know what? We never could understand it. They said, we'd pull that van up to one of these elementary schools. We'd say, hey, little boy, hey, little girl. And we'd give them candy, and we could get them. They said there's one group of kids we never could get. And she said, "We these fundamental Christians, that's what they call them. We're called Bible-believing Christians. Fundamentalist is a loose word people throw around broadly. You're better off just to be a Bible-believing Christian." And she said, "These fundamental Christians," she said, "all these people that went to church and everything," she said, "if we got their little girl over here, a policeman would walk up. If we got their kid over here, somebody would come by. A teacher would step out." She said, "Something happened every single time we couldn't get them kids." Hallelujah, brother! Hallelujah! Listen, we ought to look up like I was singing a minute ago. Brother Jason, have you prayed all night? We ought to look up and say, "God, take care of my kids. God, take care of my kids. They're going back to school week after next. God, put a wall around them. Don't let the devil have them." Brother, we're in the generation that don't look up. Let's look up, people. Look up. Quit looking at your problems. Quit looking at your burdens. Quit looking at how bad everything went this week. Let's look up there where the good things are, where the blessings come from. Let's look back to God this morning. Thank Him for our children. Tell you one thing. You make sure they brush their teeth. You make sure they go to the doctor when they're sick. If they're having problems at school, with their work, you'll help get them special help. Help them with math. Help them with English. Whatever. Why not help them with their spiritual needs? Let's look up. I'm amazed. Somebody told me the other day they got in the hospital and got sick and got in trouble. And they said, "I am amazed all my so-called friends never showed up. Them you party with, them you go out and sin with. When you get in real trouble and it comes right down to it, you know who's going to be for you there for you? Your family. Your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sisters, your kids. You better look up for your family." I'm going to say one more thing and I'm through this morning. I said, we ought to look up for our food. We ought to look up for our fortune. We ought to look up for our families. And finally this morning, we ought to look up for our future. Amen? I'm not looking for the next election to save me. If you are, you got a dismal future, brother. I'm telling you something, there ain't a politician in the world. I know people that are Christians sitting around saying, "But if we can just make it to 2016, we can just make it to 2016. You know what we're going to get in 2016? 4 more years of the same old mess. Listen, brother, my hope is not in Washington, D.C. It's not. Now, I hope for the best. I hope they do get somebody that got some sense. Lord, have mercy. It'd be a blessing. It would be a blessing if the economy does better. Praise God. Praise God. But that ain't where I'm looking for my future. You say, "Boy, I believe in the future. Things are going to smooth out. Listen, my future isn't there. My future is my blessed hope today. My blessed hope today is in the Lord. My blessed hope today is thinking that one of these days we'll be standing here in church. We'll be going up the road. We'll be sitting at home. We'll be sleeping. We'll be eating. We'll be playing. We'll be working. We'll be doing something. And all of a sudden a trumpet's going to sound and the Lord's going to say, 'Come up hither.'" Listen, we're going to look up for our future, buddy. Don't look around. The world will fail you. Don't look for gas to go down. Here's the way gas does. It goes up, and then it goes down to here. And everybody says, "It's cheap." And then it goes up, then it goes down to here. And everybody said, "It's cheap." And then it goes up, and then it goes down to here. It was way over there a few years ago, and we thought this was ridiculous. It goes down 5 cents. It's cheap. And you know what they're doing? They're just going, "Oh, we're stupid enough to fall for it. We don't have no choice." I'm telling you this morning, brother, my hope is not. You saying if we can just pray and we can just do, maybe gas will come down and maybe Republicans will get elected and maybe the blah, 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 blah. It ain't going to happen, brother. It ain't going to happen. My hope is in the Lord coming back. You know what that angel told them? The angel didn't say, "All right, boys, go out in the world and find fame and fortune." He said, "This same Jesus that you're looking at here will come in like manner. Keep looking up, keep looking up, keep looking up, keep looking up. Lord might come today." Don't get discouraged. Child of God, don't give in. Don't give up. Somebody told me that this week. They said, Sometimes I just think about quitting and giving up, preacher. Don't you dare do it. It's just before the Lord comes back. There's a lot of people getting their eyes off of Him. I'm telling you something, people. I've been doing this too long. I've done past the point, I hope and pray, of no return. I'm going to go on to the end and see what happens. Amen. There ain't nothing back there in the world I won't live for. The world don't have nothing to offer no better than what we've got here. The devil ain't got no sin out there better than what we've got here. Let's just rear back and say, you know what? Let's just keep looking up. Jesus said, I'll come like a thief in the night. There's 318 references to the coming of the Lord in the New Testament, and there's only 260 chapters. We're not looking for the clods. We're looking for the clouds. I ain't looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. I ain't looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen? I said one day this little old boy, he was a soldier actually, and from Australia and came to America. And the last thing he told his mama, he said, Mama, I'll be back. He said, I promise you, I'll be back. Well, he's gone 2 or 3 years, and she'd get letters. She'd get gifts in the mail. And she'd told all her friends, he's coming back. He's coming back. And they said, well, how do you know that means literally? Maybe he means just in his letters. He can't really come all the way back from America. It's not going to happen. She said, no. He's coming back. And they said, well, he wrote you a letter. That's what he meant by he's coming back to you. He's writing you a letter and sending you gifts. That's what he meant. You know, there's a lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe the second coming is like when you get saved. The Lord comes to you. That's, he said, I'll come again. He'll come. A lot of people believe that he blesses us with gifts and power and our prayers. And that's his coming. But no. She said, no, my boy said he'd be back. Not a letter, not a gift. My boy, visibly, physically, will return. And sure enough, one day he stepped off the plane and come back to Australia. Or come back to Australia. And brother, she was happy. Let me tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, do you hear me today? Listen, the Lord's not, he wrote us a letter, thank God. He gives us gift, thank God. But he is coming visibly, physically, in a body, we will see him. We will actually see Jesus Christ. This thing is real. What I'm preaching to you this morning is right. Keep looking up, brother. He might come today. Somebody said, did you say that our loved ones are lost and dead beneath the sod? They only sleep. They are not dead. They wait for the trump of God. They wait till the risen Redeemer in glory shall come to the skies. At the sounding of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise. So when the buds are bursting and blossoms wake with the spring, we remember that in the morning we'll awake to see our King. You may be sitting here this morning and you're living a wicked life. You may be sitting here this morning and you was at a party last night. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Any minute, a trumpet could sound from heaven and about 90% of the people in this room would just disappear like that right there. That's how close we are to Jesus coming back. You know what our problem is? We're the generation that don't look up. And that's why he said he's coming like a thief in the night. Our generation ain't looking for him. They're looking down like this. If you're looking this way, you're looking the wrong way, buddy. Politics ain't the answer. Education ain't the answer. Fame and fortune ain't the answer. Family ain't the answer. Food ain't the answer. Up there. He said, keep looking up. We're the generation that don't look up. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.